Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, what paranormal event unfolded as one child stayed home alone for the first time in their life?
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown. Possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That it is. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Of course, you can also write in on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com. And if you like our program, please consider supporting it, helping us stay on the air by becoming an extra podcast person, an EPP, at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. It's Tony and Todd with you on today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. What's going on?
Thought of you, Leah. Yesterday, I think it was, I wrapped up some stuff and I was kind of hanging out just watching some TV. And Weeknight Meals with Sarah Moulton was on.
Okay.
And it was the series where she is, and I'm not a huge fan of her. She's very nice and does a nice job, but I don't go out of my way to watch her stuff.
Sure.
But yesterday afternoon, I was watching, and she started talking about the Mississippi River and this and that and the cities and blah, 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 and catfish. And, you know, and I'm thinking, well, it's not Wisconsin. It's got to be a southern state.
Yeah.
And so then she started talking about more stuff, and it was Arkansas.
Okay.
So I'm like, well, normally I would not watch this.
Yeah.
But because Tony lives there now, I have to watch this and see what it's like for him on a daily basis.
So what do they consider Arkansas cuisine? Because I really couldn't even, like, maybe catfish, I guess. But what else did they have?
I mean, here's the thing. I think there was a part of the episode, and I was in and out because I was doing some other stuff, but I think there was like smoked raccoon or something like that. I'm not lying to you.
Yeah, I bet you're probably right.
It was like smoked raccoon or something like that. And I just thought, you know,
Oh my God.
I felt like jumping in the car and coming to get you because I was just worried about you.
Well, I appreciate the thought. No one's ever offered me smoked raccoon yet, but I did have a neighbor that that sent me pictures the other day of like a whole family of them on his back porch. So it's like, oh, well, I guess it opens up the possibility of me getting a couple of raccoons before the holidays, making some delicious smoked raccoon and then vacuum sealing it and sending it to you and Carol and everybody as a nice holiday gift.
Well, that would
raccoon.
Be great. You know, I see you post your meals and stuff online. And you always do a great job and it looks great. And I'm thinking, I have a hard time calculating that picture with what I saw in this episode. It's like the two don't match.
Oh, we could make anything look beautiful.
Well, I'm waiting for you to kind of regress into that whole thing down there. And eventually, like 10 years from now,
I think
you'll be on the farm. You'll be like raising raccoons and you'll have your own smoke shop and all that kind of stuff.
We just live in the RV. The house is for the coons now. And
That's right.
It's like
we like travel.
So we like it over here a little bit better. Shitter's full. Yeah. The thing is, I mean, Northwest Arkansas is not at all how you picture the rest of Arkansas. So it's this little bubble into itself. If I drove about 30, 40 miles in any direction, I could certainly hit the landscape where I bet you could find some smoked raccoon at the Easy Mart in town.
Well, and here's the thing. I think every state has those areas.
Sure.
I mean, Wisconsin is not void of that kind of situation. We talk about radio a lot. The first radio station I worked at, we both know the building.
Yeah.
It was a little AM station out in the middle of nowhere. They did something called shopping, bargain counter.
Yep.
And I remember the day I had just started, and the guy that hired me was somebody that I looked up to in the business. His name was Greg Owens. And so he had done the morning show, and I'm like, oh my God, it's Greg Owens. He's doing the morning show. And then after the morning show on the FM, he'd slide over to the AM and do bargain counter.
Okay.
And so that day, somebody was trying to trade sheep on the show. And the dog is barking in the background of the phone call. And the guy on the phone is going, "Shut up! Shut up!" And Greg's trying to hold it together. And I'm thinking, okay, well, maybe I made the worst career choice in my life.
I thought the same thing when we were doing Shopping Spree, the version of it when I came around. And I think we used to prank who used to host it during the weekends.
Yeah.
Because
he I used to call in as a clown singing "She'll Be Coming Around the Mountain." So
this was our career path for a long period of our lives.
Well, thank God it was there. What else would people like you and I do in life if there wasn't that?
I know. Thank God podcasts came around, because I don't. Yeah. Otherwise, we'd be doing the fucking bargain counters.
I got some sheep I'd like to trade.
Be calling myself on the air. It'd be great. It would be great. Sheep, someone would like to meet behind the dumpster of the Lowe's with very tight shorts on at 8 o'clock. Sheep for shorts, or what are we going to trade here?
And you can, that's great.
It'd be great. Yeah. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Let's get our very first letter of the day. Hey guys, hope is all is well. It's Amanda writing back in from Pennsylvania. Back with another one. Before I start, I want to thank you again for doing what you do. I love listening to this podcast while at work or on the road. You're also great. I'm kind of grateful to have you in my life, even though we don't exactly know each other personally. It's still a good feeling. All right, let's continue on. Not really scary, but here is the story of my very first paranormal experience. Okay, so first, a lay of the land. I've lived in Willow Street, Pennsylvania, all 27 years of my life. My parents own a house now, but until I was 18, we rented an apartment. It was small but cozy, and since I can remember, it always had this certain vibe about it, but none of us saw or heard anything for the first few years. Our place was set up basically in a U-shape. When you walked in what we considered the front door, you were right in our kitchen. Then it was a dining room, living room, and then you turn and go into the hallway, which consisted of my parents' room, my room, and then our bathroom at the end. Okay, so now that you can tell me, maybe picture it a little, I'll go on. I'm an only child, so it was just me and my mom and dad living there. I was about 10 when they decided that they could leave me alone at home while they went grocery shopping about 5 minutes down the road. Remember, it was already dark outside when they left, so I cuddled up on our couch and turned on the TV. I was watching probably SpongeBob or some other awesome cartoon that was on at the time, when suddenly in my right peripheral, I saw something moving at the end of the hall. I looked over from the TV and just saw this white sort of misty figure standing right outside of my parents' room. I kind of just sat there, stared at it for a minute, and even thought I could not see any kind of features. I could tell it was a male figure and was staring right back at me. He then seemed to put his finger up to his lips doing the shh motion, and then just turned and walked into my parents' room. I slowly got up and went over to peer in. There was nothing there, just my parents' normal dark bedroom. My parents came home not long after. I did not tell them anything at the time. Once it happened, my mom and I started seeing and hearing other things in the apartment, but we never felt threatened or scared, just sort of like seeing little blips from the past. I'll write in some more stories of what went on while we were living in that apartment at another time. Hope everyone enjoys hearing my story. Have a spooktacular day. Love you guys. Thoughts on that one?
I like the fact that she has pretty much summed up like residual energy as like blips from the past, because it really is kind of, that's a great definition of what residual energy is. It's blips from the past that may or may not like cross our path and like communicate with us. But it is interesting that what she saw was kind of saying shh to her.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
Not that that could have happened in the past at some point, but that seemed to be a little bit more on the intelligent kind of side. Interesting. Yeah.
It just got me thinking back the whole time to, like, I was trying to remember the first time I was home alone and what did I do that moment. Do you remember the first time you were left home alone as a child?
Well, I lived out in the country. I think you did too.
Yeah.
And so to live out in the country, it's kind of refreshing. It's kind of like, you know, I've made it. But in the same respect, it's really dark out there. Uh-huh. And I remember I was not too keen on living out in the country in the first place, because it was kind of scary to me and all that kind of stuff. But I remember the first time I was left at home, I did not go in the basement. I did not look outside. I pretty much sat in front of the TV and couldn't wait till somebody got home, whether it was my older sister or my parents at that time.
Okay. So. I remember I used it as a moment to do something that I'd always wanted to do and I thought was going to make one of the most amazing concoctions of all time. I had this in my mind that if I mixed basically all of the liquid ingredients in the fridge together and then maybe some stuff I find in the pantry, I could make this amazing punch that would just taste delicious. So I did that.
How old were you at that point?
I probably maybe 9, 10, somewhere around there.
Wow.
And I was left home. It was just like one of those things where it's like, okay, I'm just going to go to the grocery store. It wasn't like an hour after hour thing. So it was like, I got to get creative really quick. It was more like do things you're not supposed to do.
Gotcha.
At one point, I was trying to be very helpful. And it was when my mom was working in summer school and it was during the summer. And so she'd be gone from like, I don't know, like 9 to about noon. And then I thought I'm going to make her lunch. So I got hot dogs out and I started grilling them right on the electric burners of the of the stove, thinking it's just like a grill. And you know, I'm going to make this even better. I'm going to baste them in barbecue sauce as they grill on the burners.
Somewhere in your childhood, the teaching process went very wrong.
Yeah, it's like, well, you know, this is what happens when you have one too many casseroles. You don't learn how to cook.
Was your mom a big casserole mom?
Oh, completely, yeah. So, yeah, I mean, I there's a lot of casseroles, so I guess I didn't have a lot of experience with what you use those circle things for, other than they look like a grill. But we did.
You do see like today, like the chefs will like char their peppers and stuff on them.
Yeah.
So you're not that far off. Just the barbecue sauce probably was the worst idea.
I think I ruined them. I think they had to go and and get some new ones over at the True Value. Let's go to our next story. Hi, Carol, Harper, and Todd and Tony. I have had a life filled with what I think are paranormal events, but I'll tell you about the dreams in this letter. In June of 1990, I had four dreams, three of which came true, and the fourth gave me information that I had no business having. My mom was my eldest brother. We were always in tune with the ethereal realm, as I am, so we would always talk to each other if we had dreams or feelings about something. One morning in June, I woke up from a dream in which two of my teenage nephews got hit by cars on their bicycles in front of my parents' house, and they died. I woke up with that intense feeling that I had to let someone know, so I left a message on my mom's voicemail because all the kids stayed with her for the summertime. I found out that night that my mother, based on my message, decided not to let the kids ride their bikes that day. There was a bicyclist we do not know who got hit by a car in front of my mom's house and had to get carted off by ambulance. We don't know the fate of that bicyclist. I wonder if my energies just felt that this was going to happen, and because we have such a close-knit family, my brain turned it into someone I love. I would not love to have get hurt. I do not know. Of course, it could be a coincidence, but we all know how we feel about coincidences. About a week later, I had a dream that my grandma, my mom's mom, who was suffering from Alzheimer's, therefore we were all suffering, sadly, got in the cab and asked a cab driver to take her to her house, in which she had not lived in for several years. In the dream, the cab driver was a big, burly biker dude, but he was a cream puff. The cops stopped the cab and accused him of essentially kidnapping Grandma, but he was innocent. He was just taking an old woman where she wanted to go. So I left my mother a message that day because I had that weird feeling when I woke up like there was something significant in that message. That day was swimming lessons day, so my mother and Grandma would take all her grandkids, my nieces and nephews, to the local pool. Grandma would usually sit on the bench near my mom while the lessons were going on. My mom looked away from Grandma for a moment, and when she looked back, she was not in her spot on the bench. Panic ensued as my mother looked everywhere, and in a relatively small, enclosed swimming pool area, she went out into the parking lot and started looking in cars with tears in her eyes. Thankfully, one of the swimming pool employees found Grandma wandering around and pulled her into the office with her until she found her people. My mother was beside herself with relief because Grandma was simply fine and safe. About a week later, I had a dream that my friends... unruly teenage daughter returned home from being gone for a couple of weeks. This dream was noticeably short and sweet. The daughter returned home on a Friday wearing a white shirt and blue pants. I called my friend and left her the information for her to do with what she wished. She called me the following Friday to tell me Her daughter returned that day wearing a white shirt and blue pants. The other dream was about my aunt and uncle and cousin who, unbeknownst to me, were having difficult times. My cousin had gotten into some drugs and bad situations. In my dream, I saw their house that they lived in all the years I was growing up, and it was empty. There was blood all over the walls. When I told my mom about that dream, she recounted a bad argument that my aunt and uncle and cousin had recently gotten in. It came terrifying close to being bloody. I knew nothing about that argument beforehand. There was a person in my life for this month of June whom I shall refer to as Creepy Evil Susan. I met her on a Sunday. She was living with me by the following Friday. Damn charismatic, manipulative people. I was trying to help her out, and I did, but ended up kicking her out by the end of June. I cannot help but think there was something about the combination of our energies together that opened some valve for me into the ethereal realm. Thank you so much for what you do for all of us. You guys let us vent without judgment, and we appreciate it. I love hearing the dynamic between all of you, and Harper is getting better and better and better. That girl is going places. Love, peace, and strength, and perseverance to all of you. Thoughts on all that? Lots in there.
Yeah. You know, starting off with the bicycles and the nephews, and somebody did get hit out front. I mean, yeah. I think that she probably saw an event that could happen, and she was able to change it by making that phone call. So good for her. Story about her grandmother is something that I think is such a scary story, especially if you're living your life with somebody in your family that has dementia, because that is the reality for a lot of people who have family members with it. Like, what's going to happen? Where will they go? If we don't have control of this, what will happen? And so she saw something. Maybe not the exact story, but obviously there was a warning message there.
Yeah.
And I will just say about her roommate, I do believe that the people we hang out with and the people we're around can totally change the energy.
Yeah.
Whether it's good or bad, mixes with ours. Absolutely. There probably was somebody there. And what was her name? Creepy Evil Susan.
Creepy Evil Susan. Yeah.
Yeah. Needed to stay away, I think. But but obviously it did help open the door to some of these things that she was experiencing.
Yeah. I mean, it's very interesting just how that sort of thing can affect you, and you can have weird dreams or this or that. I mean, it's interesting how that all affects one person, depending on what you have around you.
And I think, you know, even if you've got somebody in your life that creates a lot of stress for you, maybe there's a bad relationship there, whatever, that affects you, whether it's paranormal or not. Sure. Obviously, that does affect you. So maybe it does not only here in this earthly realm, but in other levels too.
Yeah, I agree. We were speaking of dreams. This was kind of a weird one. When I dream, they can be kind of strange sometimes, but usually it's not like way the hell out there and weird. And my girlfriend has some of the craziest dreams you'll ever hear. It's just the most random things moving from place to place, but they're hilarious. And I love hearing about them. And she just told me one yesterday. And then last night, wake up and I had probably one of the craziest dreams I've ever had. Just so much randomness that made little to no sense. But I just wonder, was it because someone was telling me that they have crazy dreams? Was it her energy of having crazy dreams? Because she's a very calming person. So there's not a lot of anxiety there or anything like that.
Right.
For me, anyway. And it was a fun, but it wasn't a scary dream or anything. It was just very fun and bizarre. And it was my competitive mind maybe going, let's have a crazier dream to compete.
And maybe it's a mix of all of that.
Yeah.
I mean, who knows? It'd be cool if we could figure that out, if there were actually answers to those questions.
Yeah.
But in the same regard, I like the mystery of not really knowing.
Yeah. And you can analyze it 10 different ways. You can talk to 10 different people and everyone may tell you a completely different thing. And yep. But it's interesting just to hear, because there's a lot of, you know, it's like when you watch a movie has a lot going on in it, and you watch it 5 different times and you're picking up totally new things every time. That's kind of how dreams are. The way you share it, other people are going to pick up things just in that sort of fashion as well.
The one thing I will say about my dreams, I can usually tell where it's going before it goes there. I've gotten good at knowing, like, if this is the setup, I know that it's either going to be a bad situation, it's going to be a scary situation, or it's going to be an odd situation. Whenever I dream about my grandmother and grandfather on my father's side, it always goes extremely bad. It always is one of the scariest dreams I've had in a long time.
Wow.
Every single time.
So, you know, when they show up, it's like, oh, shit.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. It's like, well, this will be good. It's, you know, I'm at their house again. There's grandma. There's creepy grandpa. This is going to be scary.
Oh, wow. Yeah. That it's his little omens and dreams almost.
Yep.
Let's go to a phone call. 855-853-4802. Yeah.
Hi, Tony. Hi, Carol. Okay. Here I go. I've been listening to your podcast now for a couple of years, and I am so into it. I just really, really enjoy the stories because I can relate to them. It feels good to feel a part of a community of people who believe, I guess, even skeptics who have had experiences that they just don't know how to explain away. I grew up in a house that was absolutely haunted. So my parents moved us into a home in the early 70s. It was an old craftsman home built in 1914 in Los Angeles, and it was constant happenings in that house. All of us would hear what sounded like someone coming in through the front door. And this was, it didn't matter day or night. If you were quiet enough, you could hear it. And it was actually kind of loud, but we were a loud family, and it was rarely quiet. So who knows what else we were missing with all the noise that we made, but sometime in the middle of the day, and then always late at night, the door was very heavy. It had that big latch on the front door, very heavy front door with a beautiful stained glass. So you'd hear that latch go down, the door open up, and it sounded like someone with bags, like they were carrying something, coming in through the door, setting the bags down, and walking along, or it was walking along, setting the bags down, but in whatever order, you know, it was always that same pattern. And so I know I've heard a lot about the way there's different hauntings, and one is that repetition. It's just like a recording, you know, same thing happening over and over. And that wouldn't have been so bad if that was all it was, but we'd hear dishes falling and breaking. You would jump up out of your sleep. My mom frantically would run into the kitchen to see what it was, what happened, and everything's intact. Nothing's fallen. It was just the sound of crashing dishes. Those were the beginnings. And doors, like the knobs moving, and no one's there. I think what really ramped it up was my brother's friend. They were older than me. Decided they were going to his friend, my older brother's very, very best friend, who was like a family member to us, lived on another street nearby, brought a Ouija board over. And he and my brothers played with this Ouija board in the house. And after that, everything went crazy. There was a horrible energy in the house. it was so bad that, that my dad went kind of nuts. He was so difficult and argumentative that my mom couldn't even sleep with him in the same room anymore. She started sleeping in a pullout, that those Murphy beds. There was one in the house, and she slept on that. It was, looking back, I would call it possession. It was just like a man possessed. He was crazy. He went crazy. And I could go on and on, many, many stories, but I think the point I really want to get across is, I'll fast forward. We grew up in the house. Slowly everybody's moving out. My parents ended up, we ended up renting the house, but there was a time where it was vacant and I was going through, a bad divorce. So I needed a place to stay, and I took my young son. He was only a year old at the time. And we went to stay at that house, and believe me when I say that I was desperate. Otherwise I there's no way you could get me to stay in that house. I was afraid of it. I was afraid of that. But so we're there, and a few things happened. Many things happened. One was that my son, who couldn't speak yet, would watch something in the house, and he would follow it. His gaze would just follow it. And I would ask him, "What do you see? What is it?" And of course he couldn't respond, but he was fixated. That always scared me. And then, of course, shadows were everywhere. That house had several shadow people, and you could see them all wandering around the house. Some were slow, some darted quickly. So that happened throughout my childhood, and it was still there as an adult. I had my son with me, of course, in the room with me. And, one night I saw something pacing back and forth. There was a skylight in the house, so there was a, moonlight that came through, and, so there was this light that I could see under my door coming from the living room, I guess. It was the main part of the house. And so here's this shadow that's pacing back and forth. I could see it on the other side of the door. And I stared at it, and then it stopped right in front of my door, and that dark shadow was just there right in front of the door. And I didn't budge. I stayed put, and I waited for it to go away and prayed for daylight. It was coming soon, and I didn't fall back asleep. Oh, that house is horrible.
That wraps up her call. So many things in that house. Thoughts?
She had me at 1914 Craftsman. I was falling in love with the house itself. But that really did pose a question to me, because I always wonder about the architecture and the building style of some of the homes back then, because a lot of them had a philosophy behind them. And Craftsman homes were built with the idea that nature and outdoors should be brought into the home, and energy was very important and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And so I've always wondered about whether or not a certain type of home had more or different type of energies and stuff like that. The minute she said the word Ouija,
yeah,
I was out. It's like, well, of course, you do that. you've got a couple of things going on. You've got some residual sound stuff going on. Not necessarily that uncommon.
Yeah.
But then somebody brings a Ouija board and now you've got a possessed father.
Yeah.
Who, it's like, I think that's my worst nightmare. Like something like that would happen to me and nobody would believe me, all the stuff that I was going through, and they would consider me crazy.
Sure.
So, you know, that sad story. And then having to go back there with her son. I mean, my goodness. I mean, what a lifetime of torture with that house.
Yeah. I mean, completely. I'm stuck on the idea of the house design thing, because if you look back to, like, there was like the Sears houses where they would just, you could order a house through the Sears catalog, and a lot of them still exist and stand in many towns. I would be interested. I mean, wouldn't that be fascinating if there were certain designs of houses that were more of the stock homes like that? That historically you can look at and see which ones had a higher rate of people reporting paranormal activity in them.
Well, you know, and that goes to, like, you talk about the Masons and the Masonic temples and stuff like that. Those buildings were built a certain way with certain rooms in a certain position to align with the energies of the earth and the universe and all that kind of stuff. And so it's like, I mean, in the way far back in my mind, I'm thinking, what if there was somebody who worked for Sears?
Uh-huh.
Designed these homes and somehow designed some sort of something in them, you know, and all of a sudden all these Sears homes have hauntings. But certainly, like, if you just look at craftsman homes in general, that whole philosophy of building a home definitely was based on nature and energy and all that kind of stuff. So if I had time, if I had nothing else to do in my life, I think I would study architecture and how it relates to paranormal activity. Mm-hmm.
I have a couple of those super old Sears catalogs, and I love to look through them because, you see, it's just neat to take that look back in time. Particularly, I do like, there was one page where you have the Sears Portal to Hell home collection, and that one, I think it was like Halloween 1924 or something. It was a very limited selection of homes, but I think if you got one of those, your odds might be a little bit higher than the rest to have something going on in them.
I saw that. I always look at homes online because I always have this idea that I'm going to sell this one, buy another one, revamp it, all that stuff. And there was a house for sale. Somebody bought it, kind of a cute house, but they went completely over the top with the dead thing. So,
oh God,
the color in the home was either black, dark gray, or like this dark purple color in every room of the home.
Oh God.
There was the beds. The bed was a coffin bed, you know?
Oh my God.
And the backyard was, it was a very nice, like a bar area, but it was designed like a graveyard. And the living room, you know, was like a mortuary or where the guy cuts up the bodies and stuff like that. And I'm thinking, okay, can you imagine being the realtor on this house trying to sell this beautiful home and it's got all this going on?
I don't know how you would, I guess you would just take it on just for the sheer, well, this will be entertaining, but not really ever expecting it to sell. But I don't know. I mean, there's a weird thing, I think, going on out there. For the longest time with real estate, everybody was, okay, be as vanilla as you can. Everything is beige and just make it blah. And I honestly, to me, you know, there's, when I go in, and I've shopped for houses a lot in the last few years, and so many of them are just blah, blah, blah. The only ones that I mean, I can see beyond that, though, but a lot of people can't.
Correct.
The ones that really stand out, the ones you remember more than any, are certainly the ones that are staged in certain ways. Now, like, farmhouse may not be your style, but if it is, you can make your house wonderful. Maybe more modern is, and just, you almost like pick a demo and go after the demo. Don't try to be everything to everybody, because I think that's a recipe to sit on the market for a long time. Back when there were homes to buy, now, right now, the home market is so crazy, it's so hard to find property. But when it's more of a seller's market, that's what really matters. That's, at least that's been my experience.
Well, it doesn't matter because your house is going to be for the raccoons down the line anyway.
Exactly. So, I mean, I'm going to stage it for them. They'll have some nice little troughs everywhere. It'll be like Tube City. I'll have, it'll be, you know. Like at the McDonald's, right. You know, they can run through. They'll have a great time, and I'll just sit in my RV up back and watch.
This was the kitchen at one time, but we took everything out, and now it's just, this is with the tube area where they come and go, and then they do their business over in the corner there. And
great.
Yeah.
Come on over here. You want some of that shine on your Cheerios? We have it every morning. Yeah. That's if that's my life, I'm imagining that will probably be part of it as well. All right, that's going to wrap up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like the show, help us stay on the air, become an extra podcast person at EPP. Sign up at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Get all the extra episodes, advanced episodes, the archive, and more. Again, ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. For Todd, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to Real Ghost Stories Online.